Fitzy and Whipper.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on board. Great day to listen to a podcast, isn't it? Where do you like to listen to podcasts?
I have got a chateau in France.
Oh, do you?
South of France.
God, that's not bad.
And I like to quickly duck over there, and it's got a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm.
Magnificent area. I go grab myself an espresso, and I sit down and I listen to the podcast.
Are you George Clooney? Similar.
No, that's Italy. That's Lake Como.
Sure. Oh,
that's where my other investment property is.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're so successful.
Mm. Sometimes I'll listen to the podcast there.
Wow, it's such an honour to know you.
But usually in the south of France.
Which is, what, French for France. We hope you learn just as much out of our podcast as I've learned today. Female construction workers, good on you, girls. I tell you what, the numbers have increased. 17% of tradies on site these days are female.
Oh, the lady tradie, and that's what it's all about.
That was completely
unnecessary. Yeah, that feels supportive.
What was that?
I'll do it again.
Oh, the lady tradie, and that's what it's all about.
Celebrate your Monday with a lady trader.
Was that supposed to be hey hokey pokey?
I've changed it.
Oh no, I was just identifying the backside.
It's very clever.
Apologies to all female tradies out there who had to go through that. That's horrible.
You can hear the drill in the background.
Okay. And that's what it's all about.
That's clever. Yeah. 13-24-10 if you're a female and you're just putting on the steel caps and making your way to the building site this morning. Want to know how long you've been doing it for, and do you compete with the men? Because I reckon guys would be distracted with females on site. Oh. Bree in Wollongong, hello.
Hi, how are you?
How long you been a tradie for, Bree?
8 years.
How did when you first got the job, how did they accept you, Bree?
There was a few, there's always a few that aren't really sure about you, but you just do your best and everyone gets used to you.
I would say as well, Bree, that some of the conversations on the worksite would be quite colourful.
Well, that's true.
How do you go with that? How do you go with that, Bree?
I'm worse than they are.
Oh, you little beauty. I love you, Bree. It says here, what do you do? Like, what's your trade, Bree?
I'm a Sparky.
Sparky. Because that's what it says here. The trade that they're dominating in females are painting and electricians, Fitzy. So wouldn't it be great if you're going through the yellow pages and you decide to go with Bree over Mick Fitzgerald?
Mm. Hey, what's the biggest hurdle that you've had, Bree, as a Sparky?
The biggest hurdle, I think, is people not wanting to give you a go.
Yep.
Really?
There's a lot of, because you're a girl, they don't want you to start for them, but once they get used to you, they realise that you're just as good.
Yeah. Bree, was there any initiations on the work site or anything like that when you got the job, or did they leave you alone?
No, there's always initiations, but a few. Nothing horrible, you can't handle.
Can I ask what's an initiation? I never found this out from my dad. What's an initiation as a Sparky? Do they give you a shock somewhere, or what do they do?
Usually.
Do they really, Bree?
Yeah.
Drop your strides and get some bolts in the bum.
Probably not in the strides.
Wouldn't do that.
We won't go that far.
No, I wouldn't. Hey, Bree, is there any chance, would you mind if I asked you how much you earn an hour? Well, what's the general around people in your industry?
A bit personal.
No, because this article goes on to say the average lawyer makes $37 an hour and tradies are killing it.
Well, I'm a supervisor, so I'm a bit more than that.
This is great. Hey, very clever started on Twitter by a mate of mine, Jude Bolton, that I used to play footy with. But Bolt started this hashtag footy nickname. And I'd love to hear from people. I'm looking for the most clever nickname you've ever heard in your life. 13-24-10, get involved. I'll give away a double to Gold Class, thanks to Sage Institute of Fitness. But there's some belters that came out over the weekend, and I think we should elaborate on these. Just little ones like there was a solid halfback from the Ainslie Tricolours. His name was David Toe. His nickname was Camel.
Yep.
Which was pretty good. There was Blake the Skunk Carousella because no one would go near him on the footy field.
Yeah.
Scotty Russell was nicknamed the Possum because possums faint at the sight of fear. You don't really want the possum.
No, you don't want to be called the possum.
That means you're not a really tough player. There was David Hart for the West Coast Eagles in the 1990s, and his nickname was Joof.
I don't get it.
Joof Hart.
I said Joof Hart.
Oh.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
takes a bit of time to think. It's a thinker.
Yeah, it's a thinker.
Another guy at a local football club who was called Haley's because he would only swing by training once every 75 years, which was pretty good, I thought. There was an English footballer called Fitz Hall, and his nickname was One Size.
Fitz Hall.
Oh, yes, very
One
good.
Size That's Fitz not Hall. Bad. A rugby league player by the name of Matt Hilda. His nickname was Waltzing.
Waltzing Matt Hilda.
That's yep. not bad.
See, these are the ones that I like.
Yeah, sure.
Kane Ten Ace. His nickname was Blackjack. Ten Ace.
Ten of Ace. Yep.
Ten and ten an ace. Ace. Yep. That's Blackjack.
I gotcha. That's clever, because remember the guy I told you about, and his name was Clock. He had one arm shorter than the other.
Oh, that's right.
He was down at the footy club. Here comes Clock.
We had Shane Treblecock at the Port Nalunga Footy Club, and his nickname was Three Dicks for years.
I mean, it's not so which creative.
Which was most creative you hear this morning.
Which was hard to explain to his kids when they got to a certain age. Jeremy and Mount Druitt, what's the nickname that you've got, Jez?
I got a mate named Seagull.
Why is
Seagull,
that?
Seagull, oh yeah.
Well, he was the winger in our team, and he thought it was all right one game to go to the side and ask the spectator for a chip.
No way. Just halfway through the game, Jez. That's not bad.
See, that's what I love about footy clubs as well, mm-hmm. because it's a minor little incident like that yep. can determine your nickname for the rest of your life.
Yep, unbelievable. Ali, welcome to the show. What was the nickname?
We had a trainer who was 40 years old, but he looked 80, so I called him 80-40.
80-40.
It's very simple, isn't it?
Did he like it, Ali?
he went with it. They still call him that to this day. So. Well,
mm-hmm. You can't deny it. That's the thing. Dave in Narellan, what was the nickname?
Hey, boys. Maybe we had a bloke at work named Tafe because he was annoying and hard to get rid of.
Oh. What was his name?
Tafe.
Tafe. Oh, sorry. I thought you said Tafe. Chafe. Yeah, right.
I thought you said Tafe as well.
Yeah, well, there's a mate of mine we call Grief because he gives us nothing but. I mean, yeah. That is pretty straightforward.
Should we open this up? Should we keep going? 13, 24, 10. Chafe is winning at the moment. Give us a call. Paul in Maroubra. What was the nickname, Paul?
We had a bloke at work called Milo because he wasn't quick.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Love it, Paul. Thanks, buddy. Talise, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Talise, what's the nickname you've heard?
First, can I please have a hearing? Because my nickname is outrageous.
Why is it outrageous, Talise?
My boyfriend came home, right, and he says, oh, I've got a new guy at work named Isaiah. And he kept laughing. I said, why is that funny? That's a nice name. He goes, because one eye's higher than the other.
Talise, you're mad, but I love it. Isaiah, because one eye's higher than the other.
That's...
Talise loves her story.
Talise, stay on the line. You can get a key ring, all right?
All right.
Let's go to Shannon in Wollongong. What was the nickname you had, Shan?
How you doing, boys? Key ring holder 694.
Well done, well Shan. Welcome to the 6 o'clock club, mate.
That's a little hard. So I used to work with this guy, and we used to call him Vin or Vinny.
Vinny, yeah.
Why is that?
So he took a car to a survey. It was petrol, and he filled it up with diesel. Vin Diesel, Vinny.
Very excited to get this man in on a Monday. 8:30 tonight, Channel 10. Have you been paying attention? It's on after Survivor. It's always brilliant to get the magnificent Sam.
Sam!
Can I clap myself?
Yeah, why not? Can I? Hey, boys. I'm good, mate. You know what I love too? Because I like self-promotion and, you know, having your own merch and everything. You've come in with the P hat on for paying. You know what's concerning, though, Fitzy?
It's not for pay.
Yes,
it's
it is. Just turn around. Just show Fitzy the back of your hat.
P-hat. That's a good point. Thanks for pointing that out.
No, you're right.
It was so comfortable Pirates? That you can go, mate, you look like an idiot.
What is the team, Pirates?
It's Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pirates.
You don't have to say that.
Why?
Pang's fine.
The idea that I've got my own clothing label with, but that seems very unlikely.
Is it fair to say, Sammy, that you are a sporting nerd?
Yes and no, Fitzy. I reckon there's some sports that I love, but then as you get older... You've got no room for others.
Yeah, right.
No.
What's the worst sport?
Anything college in the States.
Yeah.
I like NBA.
Yes.
I like NFL.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I even like baseball. Mm. But as soon as someone says college before the sport, no, I'm out. I don't have room for that as
no,
well.
You mean,
because if you're in Australia, we've still got cricket and football, AFL, I've got soccer, I've got NRL. So you've got all that. Mm. Plus these new sports, mate. College.
Go away.
No. Now, speaking of sports, the Parramatta boys with their Mad Monday, they're in the news.
Yes.
Some match-fixing news as well.
Yep.
I've got a theory that whenever one of the codes, the main codes, NRL and AFL, are in the news, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, the other one takes the higher ground and suggests, oh, it wouldn't happen in our game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. We're, like a political party.
Absolutely. I mean, that, you're waiting for the other one to stuff up.
Yep.
So, hence, I want to play a game with you two called NRL or AFL.
Oh, great. This is okay. Great. Okay.
All right. So great. I will give details of a story mm-hmm. in each code's past,
yeah, sure.
and you have to decide if it was from the AFL or from the NRL.
Oh, see, Fitzy would be better
who's
with
first?
The back catalog.
I'm going to go with you. No, whip your first.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Two teammates were play fighting out the front of a suburban hotel. The horseplay was mistaken for aggression by one of the player's friends, who proceeded to come over and punch the player, leaving him with 8 stitches to his forehead, a swollen jaw, and a black eye. God. NRL or AFL?
Oh, God. It sounds very NRL.
AFL.
Damn.
2007, Essendon teammate John Barnes and Paul Barnard were play... Imagine you two play fighting out the front after a session,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and basically Fitzy's mate has seen it and yep. come over and just clocked
and
it.
Just whacked me. My God,
John Barnes,
big Barnesy.
You can't tell that story, can you? There's an urban myth going around. We yeah. don't know if it's true. Do you want to tell Pangy?
I don't want to hijack the game at this stage.
Please,
this is
save
John,
it.
John
save
Barnes.
It.
Sorry.
All right, so John Barnes, footballer, AFL, Essendon, and Billy Brownless. We're going shooting one day, and I don't know what they were shooting, call it pigs. They went onto this farm, and then Billy realised that they were on private land. So he said, look, I think the right thing to do is go and knock on the door of the homestead and say, hey, look, we're just shooting pigs, is that okay? So he went and knocked on the door, and the guy invited him in, and they explained the situation, and the owner of the farm said, absolutely, that's fine, mate, go for it. You're doing me a favour, get rid of some of those wild boars if you find them. As Billy goes to walk out the door, the farmer says to him, oh, can you do me a favour? We've got a sick cow in the front paddock. Oh. If you're driving past, do you think you could put the cow down for me? And he says, yeah, I suppose, yeah, to say thanks for being on the land, why not? So he then walks back to the car and thinks to himself, I'm going to play a bit of a trick on John Barnes here. I'm going to tell him the guy and the farmer was an absolute prick. So he gets back in the car and he says, you're not going to believe it. Barnsley, that guy was just, mate, he was attacking from the minute I walked in the door. I couldn't believe it. So they're driving down the road and Billy Brownless continues to go on. I still can't get over how bloody rude that guy was to me. Get to the front paddock, see the sick cow, and Billy Brownless says, you know what? Stuff it. I'm going to get out and I'm going to shoot his cow. So he gets out, walks up to the cow that's half dead and puts it down and heads back to the car. And John Barnes is going, what are you doing, Billy? And then John Barnes snaps and says, you know what? Stuff it. You're right. Stuff this guy. If he was rude to you, then he's been rude to us. Gets out his gun and shoots the guy's horse. Why, Billy Brownless is going, no, put the gun down. I'm joking.
So
they get back
God.
In the car and they're straight out the front gate. They've killed his cow and they've killed his horse.
We don't know if it's true or not. We think it's an urban myth. We need to find out.
All I can say is that would never happen in the NRL. That is so AFL.
You hold on to one more of those and come back
one
next
more,
week.
One more, no worries.
No, can we do one next week? Is that all right, Sam?
Love to.
Beautiful.
You're the best. 8:30 tonight after Survivor on Channel 10. Have you been paying attention? You will see this very funny man on there. Pangy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Fitzy. Thank you, Whipper.
Thanks. Scary footage of Hillary Clinton. I don't know if you've seen this. Leading the news this morning. Commemorating 9/11, which it is in the States, 15 years it's been. She was there at Ground Zero and I've just done the push-up challenge, guys.
do you want a minute?
Just give me a minute, guys. Now I've got it all together. The interesting thing is, though, the footage you see, and there's been health concerns, and Donald Trump's been trying to point this out as a niggly reason to get to her. She collapses trying to get into the car. Some have said it's exhaustion. Other people have said, oh, she lost a shoe that went under the car. But we know her health hasn't been great. I mean, that audio we played last week for you.
Thanks to Mayor Jackson.
She had an allergy here, the poor bugger.
And I hope that Ohio will send Jed Strickland to the Senate. Behind me are some of the great labor leaders.
Oh, she pushed on. Anyway, it's an interesting one because... you do want your strong leader. And that is what Donald Trump is trying to point out. Well, it's hang quite on. Scary, the footage.
It was 80 degrees, what is it, Fahrenheit over there. So what's that over here? It's got to be 30
yeah.
at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nudging.
Come on, it's a bit hot. She said it was overheating. She sort of looks like she slumps forward a bit and they just shove her in the car. I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah, and I don't think she's going to die.
I don't think she's going to die.
No, she's fine.
She went round to Chelsea's straight afterwards. She said to the driver, take me to Chelsea's. Chelsea got a baby now, hasn't she? Chelsea
Clinton.
I think
she's got a couple. She might have just been going around to see her daughter on a Sunday morning.
No, she went around there to talk about her health. Mm. I don't know that. I would assume.
So.
And maybe the final of The Bachelor.
You didn't really have much to this story, did you?
That's just
she's
interesting.
Just collapsed. It's heat exhaustion,
have
mate.
Have you ever collapsed when it's been hot, mate?
Yep. Plenty of times.
No, you haven't.
Yep.
I'd say she's pretty exhausted. She's been going flat knackers. I love this one, though. A senior law enforcement officer says she was thrown into the back seats of the vehicle like a side of beef. Who's throwing a side of beef?
Especially into a vehicle.
That's
hey,
right.
Don't sit there. I just threw some beef onto the seat. A side of beef.
Do you want a bit of mustard
Amazing.
With that? Need to talk about Shane Warne.
Oh, hello.
No, actually, there's a new one. We've got to get rid of hello now because there's a new Shane Warne that we have.
Very naughty.
Doesn't sound like Warne,
does it?
Doesn't
sound like him at all. Very Where's that from?
Naughty. Okay, well, it's from The Weeknd, Sarah, because Warne's bringing out his own emojis.
Great news.
Really?
Okay, all right, this is him explaining.
Coming soon, my own emojis. Mostly pretty nice, but some are very naughty.
Oh, stop.
Do you know who he's chasing at the moment?
Good area, Shane.
They checked it because I think all the journalists go back on Instagram and Twitter now and see who he's because you can see what he likes.
Who he's following?
He's chasing Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh wow!
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, so he's got it. So she's the girl out of the Blurred Lines film clip
so
who got
hot.
Nude.
Yeah.
Right. So he's been chasing her, and I think he's just been saying
very
her.
Naughty.
Good luck, mate. Jeez, he shoots for the stars, the big fella.
Also, over the weekend, you would have seen this. It was everywhere. Seven Network are keen to put out a telemovie. After they've done Molly Meldrum, INXS, Peter Allen, they want to bring one out on Shane Warne.
Very naughty.
Don't make it a telemovie. Make it a series. I don't want just two episodes. I don't want just three episodes. Well, I want 10 weeks of Warne.
How are you going to make 10 weeks out of his life?
Oh, there's enough, Sarah.
No, come on. There's a few cricket balls thrown, then there's some
right.
dirty texts.
We go
there's
cricket,
that woman on
Sarah,
all fours.
Three-quarters
naughty.
Three-quarters of it would be very naughty.
I mean, if one episode was just him with the two girls in the UK wearing his Playboy underpants with the blow-up member.
Yep.
Great episode. I'm into that. Meeting Liz Hurley for the first time.
That's a good one, Sarah. That's its own chapter.
And what if it just said, coming up this week... Warne hits Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you tuning
naughty.
In? I'm tuning in.
Another week would be, you know, against the Poms.
Yep.
The rivalry that you have. Remember he danced after they won and he had a bar in his mouth and a stump?
Yep. Could you imagine Warne's first night out of the South African jungle? Jungle Fever, Shane Warne, this Wednesday, 7:30.
Who was the Australian model, the DJ that he went out
Emily
with?
Emily Mills?
Yeah.
No, Emily Scott. Yeah, Emily Scott.
See, there's so many episodes.
Big Boobs by Shane Warne, this Wednesday night.
Tom?
Yes.
Any chance, have you got a good contact at Channel 7?
Yeah,
because
we love Channel 7.
All I want to be, just one of us at least, I just want to be an extra in the background.
That's Do you want to be one of the girls
no.
in the Playboy Hotel
no.
room?
I want to be a local cricketer. That's all I want to be. In the background, wearing my whites.
In your whites.
Yep. Just a grade cricketer in the background, just Warne, just yelling out in the background.
Tommy, I'd like to be, if I could.
Okay. So you're a cricketer in your whites?
Yeah, there'll be an episode where he goes and buys his Lamborghini.
Yes.
So I'll be the car salesman.
Oh, you'd be a great car salesman.
Hey, Shane, I'm a big fan. Oh. Let's do us a deal on a Lamborghini.
See you more as Booney.
Huh?
Booney
hang on.
Could be Glenn McGrath.
Can I play Uber?
Well, you're nice and tall and you're little and brown.
Do I get to drink 52 cans on the way to the UK?
If you could, you would.
I'll have a crack at it.
Whippers. Booney, that is awesome.
Sarah, get out.
Start growing your mo, mate.
Here we go.
See, the only thing is that your reaction time is just, I reckon, by the age of 80, you're starting to slow down a bit.
Well, you would say, I mean, if you're driving behind someone and they're not driving or keeping up or you feel like they're not a great driver on the road. Nine times out of ten, when you pull up next to them, there's a bit of age on it, isn't there?
Well, the reason why I've brought this up is because the Queen has been photographed driving around Kate Middleton in a Range Rover.
Wow. Surely Kate can take the wheel, can't she?
That's what I'm thinking.
She wouldn't let her. The Queen is very much an individual, and she's independent. She rides a horse still, mate. Don't worry about a Range Rover.
It's amazing. So she was pictured doing doughies out the front of Clarence House.
Sounds like a stretch.
No, they were over in Scotland. So this was on one of their estates, and it's sort of at the back, four-wheel driving, like she was going over. But have a look, she can hardly see over the wheel, Sarah.
Yeah, she's on the phone
books.
She's
so little, isn't she?
I wonder if she drives on the main roads. Oh, she's got a driver.
No, you'd have a driver.
About,
mate.
But she's got her paddock basher, the Range Rover, just going to see if the pheasant numbers are strong.
What's the difference between a doughie and a handbrakey?
Well, doughie's continuous.
Well, handbrake is pretty obvious.
Handbrake, you pull the handbrake.
Yeah, you're just well, doughies, you're accelerating the whole time, Sarah. So you're spinning the wheels. Handbrakes,
oh, is that what you call
it?
I call that a wheel spin. So your donut to me is continuously spinning around in a circle.
Yeah, that's a donut. So you are accelerating the whole time.
Yeah, yeah,
but what, and you've got one foot on the brake and you're also accelerating?
No, that's
your... How do you stay in the same spot then?
That's your wheel spin. You just do if it's a rear-wheel drive. You'll just go around in circles.
Well, we need to go downstairs and figure this out.
It's not part of the story. The Queen hasn't told us what's the difference between a handbrake and a doughie.
You referenced it all the time, and I am always confused.
Doing a doughie out the front of Clarence House.
Yeah, she was doing a doughie out the front of Clarence House. But
so stick to your story, big guy.
Robbie from Erskine Park. Who crashed into you, Rob?
Well, I was back in New Zealand, and I was doing a wedding at the time with my 57 Chev.
Yeah.
And I'm driving along, and we were stationary at the time, and all of a sudden, someone drove straight in the back of me.
Oh, no.
It's a $100,000 car. I get out of the car, and there's this little old lady slumped over the wheel.
Oh, how old was she, Rob?
Well, to cut a long story short, I went down to the police station to file a report, and they said, oh, we can either take her to court, or we can take a license off her. Now, you don't want to see a 101-year-old lady go to court, do you?
Oh, no. Whoa! No.
101.
My God.
Man.
Robbie, what did you do? Did you just say, just go home, little old lady, it's okay, no big deal?
Oh, I was beside myself because she's accusing me of doing something wrong, and I've supposed to have written off her car. I'm saying, well, look what you've done to my car, you know.
Did she have insurance, Robbie? Did she have insurance?
Yeah, she had insurance. It's the only accident she's ever had in her life.
Oh, wow.
Because sometimes...
They have the local paper every year as the oldest lady in Wellington.
Yeah.
How does she still have her license?
I know. But if she's just doing her own little thing, I know what you mean. But sometimes they're the safest on the roads because they're going at a pace which doesn't concern
them. No, they're not, mate.
It
just
safe.
Infuriates.
They're not the safest on the road because they're going so slow that it can cause an accident.
Yeah. But you know when you see somebody and you think, oh, God, they're really old, I'll just, you know, I wouldn't want her to lose her license over that. I don't want to be the one that at 101 is the reason that she doesn't continue with what she loves to do.
Isn't there a family member who can drive her around 101 and take the license off
her? Do you know
what,
though? They still, you know what, at that age, they still don't mind flicking the bird, though, if you have a crack at them.
Nying, sure. I mean,
the middle finger, right? I've seen it. Plenty of old ladies that have flicked the middle finger.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They can't say over the steering wheel, but you just see a hand come up
alongside
the window.
Doing manies down the road. Get off.
My God, they're
just
aggressive.
Just out the window.
Old women. Wild old women.
Well, the Queen needs to have a test, I think, to see how she goes. Lights, camera,
hilarity. Sarah's Drake and Rihanna, the love story continues.
That's right. Rihanna made a surprise appearance during Drake's Saturday show at the Staples Center in LA. Fans got to see the two of them sing Work before. And then she did another song as well. But the highlight of the performance was when Drake made another profession of love that sent the fans into a frenzy.
LA, I pray that you find somebody that holds you down like this woman right here.
She holds you down.
Like this woman right here. At this point, though, their hands are all over each other and they've just stopped making out on stage.
Get a room, guys. Wait till after the show. Get a green room.
No, they've got a room and there's a tour bus there as well. Sure, so. No, hey, did Drake recently, his tour bus got...
It got robbed. All the jewellery got stolen.
$3 million worth of jewellery out of his tour bus got flogged.
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, that much jewellery?
How much jewellery have you got in your car, you know what I mean?
That's an inside job, isn't it?
Yep.
You would think. So it wasn't Drake's jewellery, though. It was one of his crew. What crew member Drake has $3 million worth of
jewelry?
Gee,
you're doing all right if you're part of the crew, aren't you?
I know, sign me up.
God.
More on Rihanna. Anne Hathaway was doing a red carpet appearance and she was talking about Ocean's 8, and this is the female, all-female remake of the Ocean's 11 franchise. Anne Hathaway obviously stars in it, and she said who her favourite co-star, who she was most looking forward to working on the film with.
Rihanna and I did Saturday Night Live a few years ago, and she was gorgeous in every way you can be gorgeous. And I'm excited that we're going to get to like hang out in the makeup trailer and trade dips and get to know each other better.
Why Ocean's 8?
I don't know.
Gets an Anne Hathaway Rihanna.
And Rihanna, isn't that a weird team?
Wonder what Shane Warne.
Naughty. Oh, all right.
Well, that would be. Thanks, Warnie.
Shane.
Keep
Shane.
It down, Warnie. Guys, this one was floating around over the weekend. Katy Perry, Taylor Swift. There's been no word from Taylor Swift's camp after Katy Perry shocked fans during a Twitter Q&A and said, when someone asked, would you ever collaborate with Taylor Swift, Katy said, if she says sorry, sure.
Well, see, that's
a big word.
That's not saying that she would. She's having a dig there, basically saying, you know, she has to say sorry, as if Taylor Swift's going to say sorry.
Well, her reps have refused to comment. I think they're just ignoring all requests from media now that the Tom Hiddleston thing's going on.
Yeah, sure.
They're not talking to anyone, but it would be good to see them do something together.
Can you find out, Tommy? Do you want to hit up both their management and see if they come on the show to discuss this? We'll get her to say sorry
very
live
naughty.
On air.
Yep.
Oh, Tom.
I'm onto it right now.
Very naughty.
Very, very naughty.
A very cute video on Instagram. Two of Beyonce's backup dancers got engaged during her world formation world tour. Stop it.
Got
whatever.
Engaged.
Oh, just, that's weird.
Got engaged. Sometimes I talk too fast and I trip on my words. They got up through one of Beyonce's performances. She was doing Single Ladies and the guys jumped up.
Not the twins. Remember those guys? Are they still touring?
I don't think twins got engaged, no.
The two dancers? No. They're the best dancers
this
in the world.
This was a guy and a girl. I should have just
two
stopped
twins.
When I
what?
Stuffed it.
Oh, very geez. Naughty.
Finally, David Bowie. His ashes, it's been revealed they were scattered at the Burning Man Festival.
I do not believe
I don't agree.
This for one second.
It's not
lie.
All of the ashes. Apparently, David's wife gave his godchild permission to take a portion of the ashes to the Burning Man Festival where he was able to spread them because he apparently had a special connection to the spiritual.
I hope they had the right weather too, because there was a dust storm that came through.
Well,
the moment would have been ruined.
Copping a bit of Bowie in the face.
Straight back into the face. Yeah.
You've had a bit of Bowie in the face.
We should do that one tomorrow, actually. That's you multiple places to scatter the ashes. I thought you just go the one place.
I thought it was one too. It'd be like out to sea or off the end of the jetty.
Right.
Or
You'd take yours to Stereosonic, wouldn't you, Fitz?
No, not bad. Yeah. Bury mine a couple of days before the festival and then dig them up. No. Well, yeah, Hazel Fitzgerald, she was up in the sand dunes at Port Nalunga there.
Was she?
That was a windy day and it did go back into Dad's face, unfortunately. The Dr. Oz Show is weekdays on Foxtel's Arena at 4:55 p.m. We always love getting this man on. Dr. Oz,
welcome
back. Good to be back.
Mate, I want to ask you about superfoods. Are we getting sucked in? I read an article the other day that the most successful thing about these superfoods, like kale, is the marketing campaign behind it and how they suck people in. Can you tell us, does kale do anything good for you at all?
Kale does a ton of things good for you, but I do agree with your premise that the superfood mantra, the advertising around certain foods as being superly better than others is false.
Yeah,
however,
yeah.
There are some foods that should be the foundation of your diet. Now, kale happens to be one of them, and you can eat kale in so many different darn ways, and it's such a healthy food. All the leafy greens are. They've got carotenoids. They've got vitamin C in them. They're good for your skin, your hair, your libido, your eyes, everything. So I personally am a huge fan of it.
Yep.
Some of the other superfoods, though, that are really expensive and rare and get hyped and they're juiced, forget that stuff. Eat food that comes out of the ground looking the way it looks when you eat it, and you'll be happy and healthy.
Brilliant. Sure. Thanks,
right.
Dr. Oz.
Alex from Reesby's giving us a call. What do you want to ask Dr. Oz, Alex?
Hey, Dr. Oz. I was just wondering, every time I order like a diet soft drink or anything at the at a cafe or anything, people always look at me and they say I'm doing the wrong thing. Should I just get a full sugar one or what's better for me?
So Alex, you're asking about diet sodas or diet drinks?
Yeah, compared to full strength.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You think if they're called diet sodas, there'd be evidence that they help you diet. But they don't. That's one of the biggest marketing scams out there. These things aren't toxic and that they're going to kill you. You know, they're not going to cause cancer or anything else. However, they don't work. It's a false promise. And here's what happens. Your brain's really smart. When you drink a diet soda, your brain feels and the taste is sweet because the aspartame and other things, the sweeteners are 200 times sweeter than sugar.
Yes.
So your mouth tastes as sweet. Your brain says, all right, I got the sweet. I registered that, but there's no sugar that came. Mm. So go back and find me some sugar. In effect, you're telling your body to go back and find what you promised it would have, but you didn't give it. And that's why we think, we're not sure, but the people who drink a lot of diet soda tend to get big waists and big bellies. We wouldn't have expected it, but it happens to take place over and over again in most studies.
Wow. But okay, Coke Zero, here's a prime example, because it tells you there's no sugar, zero sugar, zero fat. So the substitutes for that sugar, are they just as bad as sugar, Dr. Oz?
I think there's a major problem with these artificial sweeteners because they're tricking your brain in a way that we don't comprehend. That's why the studies over and over again, I'm going to say this again, you drink the diet soda, you think it's okay, you think you're going to lose weight with it. I can tell you there's never been a study ever showing that it works, quite the opposite. Right. Don't waste your money. Drink real stuff. If nothing else, take a regular soda, cut it in half with a seltzer water. You won't even tell the difference.
Oh, okay. Maggie's giving us a call from St. Ives. Hi, Mags.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dr. Oz.
Hi, Mags.
I was just wondering, with a juice cleanse, what's the best way to keep off the kilos after it's done?
So juice cleanses have become incredibly popular. The one catch with juice cleanses, and I'll get to your question, is that you take all the fiber out of the product. So without the fiber, you don't have the ballast to keep your blood sugar levels where they need to be, so you go up and down quite a bit. So I love juice fasts and juice cleanses for that purpose of cleansing you, for rebooting your system. But they're not designed long-term. So you shouldn't be losing weight just doing juice cleanses, although they do that. And we've had guests on, actually, from Australia. A gentleman had been able to lose a ton of weight just through that.
Yeah.
But I always tell folks, the benefit of these kinds of programs is when you get your taste buds to reboot themselves, they'll be retrained however you want. So when you come back off the program, you had to train yourself to eat foods that you already know to be good for you. Most people, when they juice, eat mostly vegetables. So eat the hard for, you know, the authentic, real versions of those veggies. Don't immediately fall back with the pizza and the kielbasas and all that stuff, because your taste buds will be hijacked to think that's what you want again.
Yeah, right.
And then you create this cycle where you're addicted to the food. You don't actually have hunger. You have withdrawal. You're not. That's a big difference for people to make. Withdrawal is when you feel relief when you eat.
Yeah.
Hunger is when you feel good when you eat. They're different.
Ah, okay. Learning. Right, thanks,
Maggie,
for your call, Mag.
Great. Thanks for your call. Dr. Oz, insightful. Love it. The Dr. Oz Show, Foxtel's Arena, every day from 5 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Oz.
Thanks, my friends.
Knowing what we're about to talk about, people are looking at me around the studio here, wondering if I'm getting paid for what I'm about to say. I'd like to officially state that I'm not getting 1 cent for what I'm about to say. I'm obsessed with Uber Eats.
He's the snack man!
No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. The convenience of the delivery and the process of Uber Eats is just great. To start with, you know when you go to a restaurant and they've got a picture of the meal?
Mm.
Love that.
Well, so does Menulog. So does Deliveroo.
Difference is they don't come. Uber Eats will deliver from anywhere. So if you go on a Menulog, it'll say that you've got access to restaurants within
your area,
certain radius,
right? Well, they have to have registered, don't they, with Menulog.
And if I don't want them, well, that means I can't get anything. Like, one of my favourite Japanese is like 500 metres too far from where I sit when it comes to Menulog, so I can't get that Japanese delivered. But Uber Eats, they'll bring it from anywhere.
What a lazy piece of...
You don't do yourself
it
any
is.
Favors,
and you know what's
mate.
There? Okay, yeah. So not only do you see the dish that you're choosing, which I love, because I want to know what's going to turn up, then I can see that they're preparing the food, then I can see that the food's on the way, right? I've got my estimated time down the bottom. Like, I was so excited. I did it Friday night and I did it Saturday night. I didn't wait for him to ring the doorbell. Oh. I just waited out the front. Hey, mate, how are you?
You know that Domino's do that as well. I think it's Domino's where
you can actually watch the car on the street.
Nothing
more exciting.
That's debatable because with that one, if they don't get there in time, you get the free pizza.
Yes.
But see, what they do, there's been a lot of people that have been posting. A mate of mine, Mickey B, actually did. He did a Snapchat, and they said, here he is at the door to get there just before the 20-minute mark. The bloke wasn't there.
No way.
He arrived like 5 minutes later.
Free pizza?
So they were saying, he's right outside your door. Open the door, he's not there.
That's upsetting, isn't it?
I mean, it's one of those things where, and you, I know what you mean, call it lazy if you want. It's just taking the hard work out of some of the chores. And when you're busy, this is the best thing in the world. Couple of other ideas for Uber that I've got, and I'll invite everyone to jump in.
Well, there's
here.
A cleaning service now, isn't there, is Uber Clean or something similar to that?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, based on Eats, I'd love Uber Sheets. I hate making my bed. Like, I can't stand making my bed. And if I can sit there and go, oh, yeah, Sally's coming round, she's 5 minutes away, just put the sheets on the bed, that'd be great.
Don't think that's going to be a lucrative business.
Uber Fuel. How annoying is it filling up your car?
Yes.
Just rack your brain about things you don't like doing so and get Uber to organise it.
But how would you do that?
Huh?
How would you do that?
Well,
They deliver a petrol pump to you.
They have a little tanker. Little tanker company.
Don't you think?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe servos should just bring back people, attendants who stand there and fill up your car.
No, because you know what happens? Oh.
You've got to go to the petrol station to fill up.
I don't want to go to the petrol station anymore.
But the petrol station can't just pick up and come to you, mate.
Yes, it
can. It's a petrol station. It's underground.
They could bring a jerry can full of petrol and put it in your car in the driveway.
Do you know what? If I'm running out of fuel and I'm on the way to work, for one, I'm running late to start with, so I don't want to do it then. And at the end of the day, the traffic's too bad and I don't want to find a servo. I'm not interested in filling up the car anymore.
Oh.
What about someone just to plug in your charger into the wall if you've already turned your lights off at night? How annoying is that, trying to get
you
your plug in the wall?
What, when you've gone to bed
trying
and the
to put your phone charging the wall when it's dark? It's impossible to get the plug in.
So
Uber loser over here, I think. Let's track how far the loser is away from us. He's 2 metres.
Uber plug, get that over. What about Uber catch up with an old friend? Like, you know when you get that, oh, we haven't seen each other for ages, we should catch up. And I go, no, we haven't caught up because I'm not interested.
So you get
someone
else.
Uber goes along to stand in for you. Hey, how you been? Oh. He would have loved to have seen you, but he's busy. I know it's been 10 years. Yeah, sure, you had fun at school, but he's really not that interested. So Uber friend.
Hey, guys, this is my inspirational father, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Ted. This is what he's got to look up. You don't want to leave the couch, mate.
Mate, for any parent out there, Uber rock the pram. Oh, mate.
Do you really want a stranger coming in and doing these
don't
things?
Don't care. Rock it back
and
forth so I can
sit on the couch.
There's
already about 5 strangers around the house that look after him already.
So, to the people at Uber, if you want any
other personal assistants, nannies. God, he's got Uber Eats.
You need someone to come and shower you next.
Relatable man.
Maybe I should just move into a nursing home. I just shared an emotional story, quite sad, about a girl I never got to see because my plane was cancelled. I don't want to be the only one to talk about relationships this morning, Fitzy, because on the weekend there's one thing. Can we fire off some emotional music, Joe? I just feel like we needed to bring this up, Sarah, because Gary, let's just say, ain't cutting the mustard as a man.
He's let you down, really, hasn't he?
Well, listen to this, Fitzy. I get a phone call, right? I'm doing the dad duties on Saturday morning. Sarah rings and says, hey, we're going to drop in. Knock, knock, knock. Gary and Sarah wander through the door.
Because you used to live with Gary.
I know him better than Sarah. Because we live together. I've said that before. So
I know.
Anyway.
I really hope you don't know him in the same way I have got to know him.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. The way that he talks about Gary.
I know. That's what makes me nervous.
I went out with Gary for quite a while.
I know you did.
Anyway, so I was juggling a couple of kids, mate. I was trying to feed Jack, who was in the chair.
Tough times.
And
were Uber Eats on the way?
No.
Where was your nanny?
No, I'd actually made the lunch, mate. I did avocado on toast, stuffing into the kids' faces. And then Sarah went over and with Gary and thought, I'll play with Jack, which was terrific. Sarah, it was wonderful to see you in a mothering role. Pick up Jack.
Yeah, it's not weird at all when Whipper says, geez, this will be you guys in a few months. No, I'm not pregnant, but cheers.
How's this, though? Gary goes to have a hold. Forget about it. Jack, bottom lip falls out, bursts into tears. Didn't like the sight of him for a second.
Oh, no.
And Jack knows, mate.
And Jack knows him better than Sarah does.
Well, he lived with him for about 3 years. So to start with as sort of a fathering role, I would say it's a no-no so far. I don't know if it was his red hair that he was thrown by. I don't know if Jack's seen red hair before.
No, but we need to talk about this.
Yes.
Because you told this story and then you were like, okay, let's move on. What's going on with the show today? I went, whoa. Let's focus on this a little bit more. There was an incident that you were involved with the other. This is a horrible
horrible incident because you had a big bruise on your head. It's not from Gary.
It's not Botox.
Tell everyone what happened and how your boyfriend really let you down.
So we'd had a really nice dinner on Friday night. We're walking home and we're standing at the lights in Surry Hills at a really big intersection, well known. And we're just standing in a bit of a cuddle facing each other.
Oh,
and suddenly I just drop to the ground gripping my forehead. And I can feel it's instantly come up in a lump and a bit of a gash. And a car has gone past with four or five guys in it, and they've thrown a rock out the window and hit me in the head.
This is full on.
Yeah, so I've hit the ground, and I've sort of stood up and gone, what was that? Because I had no idea.
And what did you yell out? You yelled out at the top of your voice to Gary?
I said, oh, my God, who was that? Did you see the car?
And you said, license plate. Get the license plate.
What happened?
Gary goes, I can't see anything. I don't have my glasses on.
Okay, Gary was blind.
Gary.
So can't hold a kid, can't look after his woman.
Yep. Can't protect his wife or his future wife. Sorry.
No.
And mother of his children.
Are you okay, Sarah?
It wasn't great. I was actually a bit worried. You know, I did think about it later. We probably could have gone for some CCTV because it was in a pretty popular area of Surry Hills.
It did turn up on some videos. I mean, did Gary then try, did he rest you down, like holding your head as you fell to the pavement or anything like that to say, Sarah, leave them, forget about it, I'm here to hold you, are you okay?
No, I'm pretty sure he got the giggles.
I just went for Messina.
Because I'm visioning it now, right? Mm. And right, so you've been hit, which is horrible in itself, and you've gone down, and you've just pleaded to him, Gary, just get the license plate. Get the license plate. And I just pictured this nerd just going, where's my glasses? I can't see anything.
That is not how it
happened. Where are you?
I would be surprised.
Somebody help me.
I don't think that's how he would have reacted.
No.
But we should probably
know him better.
We should probably probably let you know now, Sarah. It was us in the car.
Yeah, I thought it was.
So much great sport to watch over the weekend. Wasn't it unbelievable? Whatever your code is, whatever you love, there was some great sport getting around. I decided to watch something else. I settled into Rachel Hunter's Tour of Beauty. You guys watched that at all? She went to India, which was great.
Okay. Oh, Rachel, this is Rod Stewart's old wife.
Supermodel. Very attractive, isn't she? Lovely smile and seems like a wonderful person. It was great to see some of her meditation techniques, and she bathes. What is this music? I said make it like relaxing.
Who brought the band in?
Therapy in
the system. Well, there was a look. listen to it before you play it.
No. Oh, it's a bit of
hang on, mate. I'm in a jazz bar. I'm having a martini. This is not the Tour of Beauty, mate.
What shall I get up to today?
Thought-provoking, isn't it? This is terrible music. No, anyway, she went and bathed in the River Ganges and did all this stuff.
Aren't there bodies in that?
Yeah, well, they cremate bodies on the same time, but it's a connection to the soul and the mother. It's more than just a bit of water.
That's an ear infection you don't want to say.
There you go, your tonsils.
It's very dirty, the River Ganges, isn't it?
God, book yourself into the toilet for that time. Then she goes on a meditation trip, which is great. It was weird. Visits one beauty. This is quite strange. I was watching this on the plane, and I was trying to look around at other people to see what they were thinking. But she goes to this beauty center and has a honey and oil enema, which is interesting. Wow. So they load up a big syringe and just go whack straight up the jacksie.
What is that supposed to do?
Well, it's supposed
to cleanse.
Yeah, but the weird thing was, it takes a long time to work, the beauty center's closing down, so it's getting dark outside, and they're shutting the doors, and you're thinking, is this going to work? She's confused, and then the next shot you see is just of the back of a toilet door, and it's Rachel Hunter yelling out, "It's working!"
Oh, no.
Think of honey on a spoon.
Yeah.
That's the speed with which this process is happening.
But did you put it into with a spoon?
No, that's I know, but thank you, Whipper.
That's probably child's play, though, with what Rod Stewart got up over the years on tour.
It's not a scratch on what Rod Stewart would have
done. That would have been a regular Tuesday night for Rod Stewart, I reckon.
I think that's called an enema.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, there's a couple of other rumours going around about Rod Stewart. We can't get into that one.
That's another story. That's Rachel Hunter's Tour of Rod, which is a completely different movie. Anyway, then the next thing you know is she continues her tour, and this is where the penny drop for me, you'll love this, drops into a turmeric plantation. Got any more of that nice music? So drops into this turmeric plantation.
Fascinating.
The leaders of this, the farmers of that's better, man. That's good gear. It's and I take a lot of turmeric, like I've told you. You've seen the containers
no
on my
one
desk.
Cares, mate.
Anyway, this all makes sense now because couples are waiting at the gate as she walks into this turmeric farm. And then the Indian lady there says, they're all here for fertility reasons. Fertility. It is a special drug for fertility. This herb, this root out of the ground.
What?
Right? I'm still...
So you take 12 turmeric tablets a day for fertility,
but
you?
I was... No, I do it for my brain. But I've been stumped at how Lisa got pregnant with Jack.
Which obviously it's not working.
But the... But the
take 13, my
but
friend.
But the turmeric has turned them into super swimmers, and that's what's happened here. There's two options here. Lisa slept with someone else, or the turmeric's really had an effect when it comes to fertility.
No. I don't think the fertility... If you were on the turmeric or not, you still would have got pregnant.
Yeah, but understand that the chances of the pregnancy... It was like a bad one-night stand story, except we'd made a commitment called marriage. Like, the likelihood was very, very low.
You're comparing your marriage to a bad one-night stand story?
I'm saying without the turmeric, we mightn't have resulted with a child, which is the greatest gift. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, God, get rid of that second kid, I never wanted it. But it was a bit of a surprise for everyone.
So you've insulted your marriage, and you're getting health validation from someone who puts honey up their bottom.
No, I'm sharing a story if you're looking to conceive... Turmeric.
No, mate.
Or a tub of honey.
I thought you told us that you take turmeric for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, for your memory.
For your brain.
Well, which one is it for, mate?
I didn't realise that could also help your swimmers.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that so you can remember what you're doing?
What are we talking about?
Honey on toast.
Where are we now?
Yeah. Honey, oil, bad one-night stands, turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
What drugs were you on over the weekend, mate?
Sorry, I'm trying to help everybody out. There's the key to life, guys. Keep the music going. Turmeric. Did you learn anything, Matt DeGroot?
I did not.
No, you're not even listening. You're on Tinder. What a pity.
He turned off a long time ago.
This is a good story. I like this one. 56-year-old Roger Armstrong.
Hey, Rog.
North of Wales there decided to put the Lycra on. I don't mind getting the Lycra on every now and then, sir.
Do you wear Lycra, do you?
Yeah, sometimes. And I've,
top or bottom?
No, I've got these new Lycra shorts that have got the padded bum for your seat.
Ah.
Yeah, so it pads your bum even more.
Is that why when you see cyclists get off a bike, they walk like they've just filled the back of their pants? Or is it the shoes?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the part in the
middle.
It's
quite a bit. Well, it's also good. The padding is good because then when you do rock up to a cafe to have a coffee, some of them can be really tight and you see everything. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But when you've got the padding there, you can't. So that's not too bad.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, Roger went out... He went out for a bit of a casual bike ride. Now, as he headed out towards the Horseshoe Pass near Langolan.
Great spot.
And he was going for it. He was really having a crack there. It was only a quick ride, and he started going. And then all of a sudden, he heard a few cyclists coming up his bum. So he thought, I'm going to go here.
What?
So
Roger.
They came around the corner, and there was a big group of cyclists. And he said, I'm going to try to keep up with these guys. He led for around about 2 or 3 kilometres.
Yeah.
The thing was, though, it was the Tour of Britain.
Oh, God.
He was at the front of the peloton, and they were actually using Roger, his slipstream, and they were yelling out to him, go for it, keep going. And Roger just was going for it, and everyone was just in a line behind him.
Mm.
And then when it was at the sprint stage, they overtook Roger, and they went on to, well, some bloke went on to win the stage, the fourth stage of the race.
What point did Roger realise there was a race behind him? Like, did they go, it's just another group, or when he saw the finish line, did he go, oh, now I know why they've been yelling at me?
You would hope that someone would have taken a photo of that, or it would have been on the television. Because it's the same with every marathon or fun run that you see that's broadcast.
Mm.
See, I don't know if you know this, but they always broadcast the start of the race. So you always get the peanuts at the start of the race who sprint for the first 400 metres to get on the television.
Yep.
Oh.
And then they drop off.
Yeah, right. Go straight to the back.
Yes. Yep. And then the marathon runners overtake them.
Mm-hmm.
But Roger became a local star in his local area because he was leading the Tour of Britain there for
a while.
Well done, Rog.
Always a champion in our books. Well done, son.
Yeah, he couldn't keep up. Ended up having a heart attack. But he was...
Roger, he's dead.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't die.
He's okay. Fitzy and Whipper.